Chapter 13, once again, John chapter 13. And I apologize to our sound booth, I forgot to put the wireless mic on, so I'll speak loudly, right? John chapter 13, beginning at verse 18. John 13, verse 18. We looked at Jesus washing the disciples' feet last week, so now we've come to verse 18. John 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto them. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify himself, him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither thou goest, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice, three times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in your word this morning. Thank you for this time of singing these hymns of praise, of sharing together, of learning more about the Gideons and this good ministry. And now we come to the preaching of your word. So speak to our hearts. If there be anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, they will come to know you today, Lord. Call upon your name that they might be saved from their sin and have eternal life. We ask your blessing now. Help me as I preach. Help us all to listen to your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Can you believe that? What a sobering, frightful statement. He is declaring that one of his own 12 disciples is a traitor and would turn his back on Jesus and to help in accomplishing his murder by treachery, by betrayal. And I would dare say one would be hard-pressed to go any lower than to betray your friend. your so-called friend. Well, we come now to the latter half of John 13, which is a very sad and at the same time a very happy passage. Can you have that in one passage? You sure can, and we have it here. It is sad because we read of the terrible and notorious betrayal of the Lord Jesus by the traitor of all traitors, Judas Iscariot. We also read of the prediction of Peter's denial of Christ at the very end of the chapter. But sandwiched in between these two sad and dark episodes, is a description of glory. Verse 31 and verse 32, the word glorified and glory are used no less than 5 times. And when a word is used that many times, we pay attention. You can betray him, you can deny him, but God is sovereign and he will be glorified nonetheless. You can never take away the glory of the Lord. In John 17, 4 and 5, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John 17, 4 and 5. Psalm 72, 19 says, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And Philippians 2, verse 11, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Verse 10, in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What we have here in this section of the life of Jesus Christ, the forces of evil coming at him in the form of betrayal and denial, and yet glory in the midst. You see, Jesus will get the glory in every situation because he is God, he is sovereign, he is powerful, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And the world is against him, the Father is for him. And it would appear that he is helpless to avoid the treachery and the betrayal of one of his own. And yet Jesus is always and powerfully in complete control of this. In fact, this was prophesied long ago. And then it would take place. And Judas, in making his awful decision to betray, and who is responsible and accountable to God for his treachery, is yet simply a pawn in the hands of Jesus Christ, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, even the betrayal and denial of Judas and the denial by Peter. It was all going according to the counsel of God's will. Does it mean he approved of it? No. But he's in control. And then we also see the very sad episode in the life of his closest disciple, Peter, who denies him not once, not twice, but 3 times, right? As is forecast, as was foretold by the Lord. And yet Jesus is in control. And he allows Peter to go down this road. And yet, at the same time, Peter is responsible for his sinful action, and Peter will suffer the consequences of his denial. Well, the betrayal of Judas. I got one point. This is a one-point outline. Can you have a one-point outline? Anyway, one point, and that is the betrayal of Judas. This is about the betrayal of Judas. Of course, when we hear the name Judas Iscariot, we think of the word traitor. He was the most notorious traitor, the most infamous of all traitors. He was the traitor of all traitors. Jesus' prediction of his dastardly deed, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, that he would actually betray him by his deception to be his friend. We know Judas pretending to be Jesus' friend, and yet he's his trainer. He's his trainer. Remember the kiss? Yeah, the kiss in the garden. How low could one go? Go so low as to pretend he's his friend to the point he gives Jesus a kiss as he leads the authorities to apprehend Jesus and take him to his death. He goes very low, the lowest of the low. For a measly 30 pieces of silver, he sells his master. He sells his teacher, his Lord, to the Jewish authorities who come and arrest him the night in the garden led by Judas. And what would follow? Judas would eventually experience tremendous regret, remorse, sorrow for what he did. And so he would go and he would get rid of the dirty money and he would go out and hang himself. And that's how bad the regret, remorse was. Matthew 27, verses 3 to 5. What he could have done and should have done is confessed it and repented from it. Aren't you glad you can do that? And that's the way out, is the way up, is the way out for you and me. Judas Iscariot had the amazing privilege of being one of the 12 closest followers of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. And yet, unbelievably, after 3 years of living constantly with the perfect Jesus Christ and observing the miracles he performed and hearing his teaching, Judas betrayed him to his death. What a dark, dark, tragic story. And what a travesty which reveals the depths of evil to which the human heart is capable of sinking, even in the best of circumstances. Sometimes people think, well, it's because of the condition I'm living in. It's my circumstances that are the problem. Well, can anybody have any better circumstances than Judas? Living with Jesus for 3 years, walking with him, talking with him, eating with him, sleeping with him, and yet betraying him? No, it was his heart. His wicked, wicked heart. And how wicked is the heart of man. And no one here this morning is above being like Judas. In fact, maybe you're a Judas, or at least no better than a Judas in your so-called relationship with Jesus Christ. How we must guard our heart and keep our focus. His betrayal of Christ to death reveals the depths of depravity and a heart that all of us have, and every single one of us are capable of such evil things as we see in Judas and Peter. In fact, a man's heart can take him to hell. Is your heart taking you to hell? Doesn't have to if you give your heart to Jesus, right? Give your heart to Jesus Christ. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Says Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17, 9. Oh, we would never do. We would never deny the Lord. And I don't think we ever would. We would never betray him. Surely not. None of us here. We're here to worship the Lord. How can we ever betray him? But though we would never turn on him and treat him like he was our enemy, needing to be handed over to authorities, do we treat him as our loving Savior and friend? How's your relationship of love with the lover of your soul? We would never act like his foe, but are we his friend? Are we his friend? I mean, are we really, really, really his friend? Do we really love him? Do we love to be with him and speak with him and rejoice in his presence and talk of him, about him with others? Let's stay as many miles away from Judas and his wickedness as we can. Well, the betrayal. One of you shall betray me, Jesus said in verse 21. In verses 18 to 21, we see that Jesus is not a surprise victim of a treacherous plot. So he tells his disciples ahead of time that you are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. In verse 18, he knew, for he is God, and he knows all things. Excuse me. He knows all things. He knew what was in his heart. He knew from the beginning that he would betray him. Jesus knew this. He knew it from all eternity past. But he knew it from the beginning of when he chose his 12 disciples, and yet he chose Judas, knowing that he would betray him. And what a tremendous missed opportunity for Judas. What could have been for him? What should have been? What could have been, what should have been, what should be for you and me if we're on the wrong road? Jesus is saying that I'm telling you ahead of time that one of you will betray me. He's telling his disciples, I'm telling you ahead of time, one of you 12 will betray me, so that when you look back on this incident, you'll know that this didn't take me by surprise. They wouldn't be able to say that Jesus misjudged the character of Judas and should never have made him a disciple. What a blunder, what a mistake. No, this was in God's plan, God's plan. The Lord had already said that not all of you are clean, speaking of Judas. Judas followed Jesus to see what he can get out of it. He wanted a place in the kingdom. He wanted a throne that he can sit on. He was hoping for Christ to set up a physical kingdom in which he can reign now. Back, remember when Mary washed the feet of Jesus with a large amount of very expensive perfume, nard, spiked nard, in John 12:6? And you can look back there if you want. I think it's John 12:6. And remember the reaction of Judas. He was outraged that it wasn't sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. That was valuable perfume, like a year's wages worth. And this he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag. He had the bag. What a hypocrite. What a traitor. And he bare what was put in it. In other words, Judas used to help himself to the money in the bag. He pilfered the money. He was a thief. And Jesus knew this, and yet he let him be the treasure of that small band of men that followed Jesus for three and a half years. And he got so upset about the ordeal that we read in Matthew 26, verse 14 to 16, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you, to the Jewish authorities. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Again, Matthew 26, 14. So Jesus was not caught off guard by this wicked deception and treachery by Judas. And his omniscience meant that he was aware of everything that took place, and he yet deliberately chose Judas that the scriptures might be fulfilled. In fact, in John 13, 18, Jesus quotes from Psalm 41, 9. I speak not of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 41, 8, yea, my own familiar friend, whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. This was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. He lifted up his Judas. Would lift up his heel against me. Maybe that's a way of saying he kicked me when I was down. He kicked me when I was down. And that's what Judas does to Jesus. Jesus appeals to Judas time and time again. And what's Judas do? He hardens his heart. He refuses to listen. And he makes his choice. and he's responsible for the wrong decision, and he will be held accountable for that wrong, sinful choice. Likewise, you and me, you would never, we would never betray our Savior. And yet we may be inching closer to denying that we know him by our failure to give our all to him. In fact, could that not be a form of denial, is holding back on him, not giving him our all when he deserves all that we have? By not speaking out for him, by not following him and serving him and loving others, when we give into the flesh and allow the flesh to control us, we're not committed to him. We're not committed to him. Jesus said that he that is not with me is against me. Matthew 10:38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You cannot serve two masters. And yet when we try to do that, we are denying him. And it's almost a form of betrayal. Judas was responsible for his wicked, heinous decision, and he was held accountable. I'm responsible, friends, for my wrong choices. You're not responsible for what I do, what I think about, the choices I make. I'm responsible. You're responsible for your life. Now, I can be forgiven if and when I turn and repent and ask God to forgive me and help me to do right. He will always forgive my sin. Always. There's not a sin that I can commit that he will not forgive when I repent, when I don't go back to it. Okay? He forgives and forgives and forgives. But I'm responsible. I'm responsible. Acts 2:23 is a good verse. You can turn there if you like. Acts 2:23. Speaking of Jesus, him being delivered by the determinate counsel or predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. Okay, this is all part of God's plan. He foreknew what would happen. He predetermined what would take place. And yet, wicked Jewish leaders and Judas were responsible. You have taken, you, by your wicked hands, crucifying him. Yes, it was meant to be. Yes, men, wicked men, were held accountable for what they did. 11 disciples followed Jesus and loved him, but one disciple betrayed him. How is that? How is it that almost all the disciples followed him, but one turned on him? One turned on him. Someone said the same sun that melts ice and softens butter also hardens clay. Clay gets hard, butter gets soft when the sun shines on it. It's the individual that responds to the love of God that is softened. Their heart is softened. And Judas did not respond, and his heart was hardened. In spite of all Jesus' warning about covetousness, Judas was stealing money from the bag. It's not like he didn't know it was wrong. He knew. He'd heard Jesus over and over and over again. And yet, despite Jesus' teaching about unbelief, Judas hardens his heart. And yet God is in control. He is working all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. God works all things, everything after the counsel of his will. And yet I'm responsible for exercising my wicked will. Jesus Christ, God the Son, works according to his will, and he always does his will, and no one can stop him doing his will. As applied to Judas, ultimately, he will use Judas' betrayal for the glory of God. See? For the glory of God, which took him to the cross, and thus brought about redemption through this terrible act of treachery. In other words, my salvation, my redemption was accomplished by the betrayal of Judas. Now, again, I know God is sovereign. God is in control of it all. But only God can do that, use a wicked traitor to bring Jesus to accomplishing his will, that there would be a Savior that would die for the sins of the world. How can that be? God can do that. Verse 30 of our passage in John 13, verse 30, he then, having received the sop, the morsel, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Wicked betrayal leads to glory. That's the amazing thing about this whole passage. Wicked betrayal leads to glory. Now, does it excuse the wickedness? No, as we've said, okay? It doesn't excuse it, but God uses it in his sovereign way. Only God can bring glory out of sin, and he does. Judas is accountable. Judas is responsible. I'm accountable. I will pay for my sin. There'll be consequences. But in the end, God can still get glory, and he will. Only God can bring glory out of sin. Glory, the glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. God is able to do anything, and God will always be glorified in all things. Betrayal brings the suffering of the Lamb of God, and the suffering on the cross brings the glory of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Figure that one out. You can't do it. You can't do it. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Now, that's interesting. Jesus was troubled in spirit. How could Jesus be troubled in spirit? Well, he was the God-man, remember? He was holy God and holy man. Fully God, fully man, completely God, completely man, human. And he was troubled in spirit. This means he was experiencing severe mental anguish, severe mental and spiritual anguish, inner perplexity, agitated. That's the meaning of the word. He was agitated. To think that Jesus himself was so much a man, so much like you and me, that even he experienced anguish, trouble in his heart. This ought to encourage us. He was in all points tempted and tested like as we are, and yet without sin. Okay? It reveals to us his humanity. The same word is used of the disciples when they're out in the boat in the middle of the lake taking on water, tossed with the waves. And that's when we read of Jesus going and walking on the water to them. And we read in Matthew 14, 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Same word. They were troubled, saying it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. They were troubled. New American Standard translates it, they were terrified. Terrified. They were scared to death. And this is what Jesus experienced at the knowledge that Judas would really go through with it and betray him to be crucified. He's going to be crucified. He knows it. And he understandably was troubled. So Jesus was in total control, working all things after the counsel of his own will. And yet, at the same time, he was troubled. He was troubled. Jesus had lived with Judas, and he knew he would betray him from the very beginning. And he was troubled at this. He cared for Judas. You can believe that, but I believe it. He cared for Judas's soul. That's hard to believe, but I think he really did care for him and desired that he turn from his evil intent. And we know that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, even Judas, even you. I believe he's greatly troubled in spirit when we don't give our all to him. When I don't give everything to him, it troubles him. When we think lightly of our sin, when we go our own way and make our own plans without him. You look back in this last week, how many plans did you make? How many things did you do without consulting the Lord? Many, right? Yeah. We go our own way and we leave Jesus back there somewhere. And he waits to be wanted. He waits for us to call on him. He wants to be a part of your life and live in your heart. And it grieves him when you neglect to love him and treat him like the friend and companion to you that he wants to be for you. And he wants to be. He wants to be. He knew at any moment Satan would enter the room and enter into the body of Judas, John 13:27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, what you're doing, do quickly. You better do it now. John 6. In John 6:70, you can look there real quickly, but let me read it. Yeah, John 6:70. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Wow. One of you is a devil. And he said this some hours before, I'm not sure, hours or days before, one of you is a devil. He was troubled that in a few hours he would be beaten by Roman soldiers and a crown of thorns would be pressed upon his head, and that he would hang on a cross in great agony, for all the sins of humanity would be put on him, and the worst of the worst sins would be laid on him. Even the act of betrayal by Judas would be laid on Jesus, though it would be too late for Judas. So he was troubled. Jesus was troubled. It's an evil tribute to the hypocrisy of Judas that none of the disciples thought it was him that would betray Jesus. They did not suspect him. That's how good Judas was at covering up. They didn't suspect Judas, but they suspected themselves. In Mark's gospel, one by one, the disciples seem to all say, is it I, in Mark 14:19. When Jesus says, one of you will betray me, they go, is it I? 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 And the Lord responded in Mark 14:20, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe be to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he'd never been born. It'd have been better for Judas if he'd never been born. In John 13:23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter beckoned him, said he should ask who it would be of whom he spake. And then he, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon. John was the one leaning on Jesus' breast, which means he was reclining at the table on his side. That's how they ate. They ate at very low tables, and they would recline, and they would eat. And John was leaning on Jesus next to him. And Peter told John to ask Jesus who it is. Who's going to betray him? And Peter thinks it's him. Peter thinks it's him. Is it me? I've done some dumb things, and it might be me. So the disciple whom Jesus loved, John never refers to himself by name, but by this expression, he was beloved of the Lord. And Jesus answered in verse 26, it is he to whom I give a sop. And he gave it to Judas Iscariot. Now the sop was like a piece of bread that we take to dip up gravy, you know. But they weren't eating potatoes and gravy and bread here. They weren't cleaning their plates of gravy. It was being dipped in a mixture of bitter herbs, vinegar, water, salt, crusted dates, figs and raisins, possibly. Far from potatoes and gravy. And it was a symbol of honor to give the sop to someone. It showed favoritism. So he was showing kindness to Judas right up to the end. And one last time, Jesus is appealing to Judas in his heart by saying by his actions, giving him the sop, Judas, don't do this. Don't go through with this. You don't have to go through with this. I love you, Judas. You're in a favored position. And Judas spurned this last act of love, something he had spurned for 3.5 years, because he had a hard, callous heart. But why did he harden his heart when the other disciples didn't? Why is it that children will grow up in the same family and some will love God and serve him and some will reject him? Why is that? The same young people, maybe they go to a Christian school or involved in a Bible study, and some of those young people go on to serve Jesus Christ and others reject him and go their own way. Why is that? It's a human heart. It's a human heart. How we respond is determined by our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Guard your heart with all diligence. Satan entered into him. Satan could not, unless God granted him permission to enter into his life, into Judas. And as Christians, Satan can't enter into you and me. Satan cannot possess a believer, but he can influence, he can tempt, he can draw us away, he can harden our heart, but he cannot possess us. This man was an unbeliever, Judas, and Satan entered, and Judas had to give him permission to enter, and he did. Interesting, too, as we noted before in this passage, the Lord changes the Passover, the last Passover, to the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, where the bread represents his body, and the wine, the juice, represents his blood. And the Passover meal has now become the Lord's table. And Judas was not going to allow Satan, let alone Judas, to be present at this sacred initial memorial, the Lord's table. So he ministers the Lord's Supper that would have been marred by Judas being there and Satan being there. In verse 30, then he, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. It was night. Jesus was the light of the world. Judas rejected the light, went out in the night. Satan influences Judas. Satan enters into him. Divine mercy gives way to divine judgment, and Judas is handed over to Satan. And Judas leaves the light of the world, and he goes into outer darkness. He spurned Christ's love for one last time, and his eternal doom was sealed. He will spend eternity in outer darkness, in hell, for the wrong choice he made. What about you? What about your choice? Do you trust Jesus or do you deny him? What about you, young person, teenager? Where are you in your relationship with him? Do you have one? Have you given your life to him? Have you truly trusted him as your Savior and called upon his name? Maybe you've heard this truth over and over and over, but you've become callous. You've hardened your heart. Young person, middle age, older like me. You've heard the gospel for years. You've lived for years, even decades, under the sound of the gospel truth, and yet you've hardened your heart. It need be not any longer. It need be no longer. Give your heart to Christ today. Don't follow the way of Judas. Follow the light. Go for the light, Jesus Christ, and he will save you, he will keep you, he will bring you home one day to heaven, to dwell in his presence forever, this Lamb that was slain for our sins. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the lesson that we can learn, the warning that is here about Judas and his betrayal, Lord. Thank you for reminding us that we all are born sinners, as we learn in Sunday school so clearly this morning, that in Adam all die. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And we're born sinners, and we're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice. We choose to sin. And we follow our wicked heart, and the heart indeed is wicked above all things. Lord, take our heart, cleanse our heart, Lord. We want to give you our heart this morning. We want to give our all to you and follow you wholly, completely. Love you with everything we have, Lord. Our time is short. We don't have much time, Lord, but now is the time that we might do right, follow you, give our all to you. So have your way now as we close. May you be glorified during this time and the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 4.